This is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Craig. On this Sunday after Pentecost, we hear a little more of what happened on that day. We remember that the Spirit had come upon those followers of Jesus who were frightened and hiding in that upper room. The Spirit had come with wind and fire, bringing them love and the power to reach out to those who were around them. And they'd rushed out into the streets to proclaim the good news of love, of hope, of reconciliation in Jesus, the Messiah. And Peter stood up before the crowd that gathered and preached to them. He told them, "This Jesus was revealed to you as a man of God, as God's Messiah by his words and his actions. But you rejected him, you despised him, you even let him be crucified. And this same Jesus whom you crucified, whom you killed, God has raised up and made both Lord and Christ." And the scripture says, many of those who heard Peter's words were cut to the heart and said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, turn around, change your minds and your hearts and believe the good news. Trust this message of love and hope found in Jesus, and you will be saved. Not saved from hell someday, or not just saved from hell someday, if you believe in hell, but healed and made whole today. Not saved for heaven after you die, but saved today. Brought into right relationships with God and with each other and all creation." Salvation in the Hebrew scriptures is always about more than just what happens after we die. It's about wholeness. It's about shalom. It's about restoration and reconciliation. It is about community and being brought together in right relationship. Now, we may hear repent and be saved. We hear that language and we get caught. We can get caught by our old associations and experiences we've had of this language being used to create guilt and shame. But surely, if there was any time when our country needs to repent and be saved, we are being shown that right now. Repent, America. Repent of the age-old sin of racism that has permeated all of our lives and institutions. Repent of the structural injustices that keep people down. Repent of daring to despise and reject certain people just for being who God made them to be. Repent, change your hearts and your lives, and you will be saved, be healed, be transformed, be made new. Choose the way that moves toward God's peace, God's great shalom, that is always justice and mercy, restoration and reconciliation, and right relationships, not just with God, but with each other. That day in Jerusalem, the story says 3,000 people responded and joined the community that Jesus had formed. Can we imagine what that was like? Before that day, they were a group of maybe 70 or 80, a group about our size. And all of a sudden, there were 3,000 more, and more kept joining daily. Day by day, the story says the apostles taught them the ways of Jesus, Jesus' teachings, and they shared all things in common, meeting for worship and prayer, breaking bread, remembering his life and death, and sharing meals together. And those who had money and resources took what they had and shared it with all those who were poor, and many of them were poor. And the poor received all that they needed. They had enough. It was a community of love and justice, a community where everyone belonged and everyone got what they needed, all joined together by the love of Christ. We don't know from the book of Acts how long this level of communal sharing lasted. But here in these phrases, there is captured a vision, a hope of the community of love that the teachings of Jesus and the power of God's Spirit can create. A community where all know they are loved by God and all learn to love their neighbor as they love themselves. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called it the beloved community, and he spoke and wrote about it again and again. And in this time of national crisis, his words are profoundly prophetic words of hope. He said, the nonviolent resistor must often express his protest through non-cooperation or boycotts. But non-cooperation and boycotts are not ends themselves. They are merely means to awaken a sense of moral shame in the opponent. The end is redemption and reconciliation. The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community, while the aftermath of violence is tragic bitterness. Love, he said, is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. The aftermath of the fight with fire method, which you suggest, is bitterness and chaos. The aftermath of the love method is reconciliation and creation of the beloved community. Physical force can repress, restrain, coerce, destroy, but it cannot create and organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Yes, love, which means understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill, even for one's enemies. This is a solution to the race problem. There is another element, he said, that must be present in our struggle, that then makes our resistance and nonviolence truly meaningful. That element is reconciliation. Our ultimate end must be the creation of the beloved community. That's what we long for, I think. That is the salvation we need. We are caught right now in an unholy trinity, a coronavirus pandemic, an economic crisis, and another awful revealing of the racial injustice and police and state violence that has been directed again and again at persons of color. But on this day, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful because I actually think we are at a tipping point. I think the movement is happening before our eyes. A few years ago, I learned that animal behavior scientists have learned something fascinating about herd movements in recent years. We used to think when a herd of deer or elk moved, it was because their leader, some big, strong male buck, had sent the signal and told them to move. But now scientists know that's not how it happens. They've used video cameras to monitor herds, and what they have seen is strikingly different. When a herd of deer or elk are grazing in a field, at some point, a few individuals start to get restless. A few lift their heads up. and then more and more lift up their heads. And finally, when it reaches the majority, when more than half of the animals have stopped eating and are looking around and are ready to move, then the whole herd moves forward. The herd reaches the tipping point. The community realizes it is time to go, and the community moves forward together. I believe there's a communal movement happening in America right now, and I want to believe that what we are seeing and what we are hearing and witnessing is the tipping point, because we have all seen it. Thanks to cell phone videos and social media, we have all seen with our own eyes and heard with our own ears. Time after time after time over the last decade, we have seen the voices, heard, seen the violence on the videos. And this time there are no excuses and no question about whether maybe it was a mistaken identity or some kind of confusion. We all heard George Floyd's cries, and we all saw him die. And the evidence keeps coming at us over the last 2 weeks, because the powers of injustice, the powers of violence and oppression, the powers that use their might to control, are reacting in many places with force. They are trying to suppress, trying to dominate, to frighten, to label as terrorists, to smear and confuse. They're even trying to use the force of American soldiers against American citizens in the name of law and order. But we are seeing the truth. And it's not just Black and Brown people right now experiencing police and state violence. It's white people. It's journalists of all sorts of backgrounds. It's peaceful protesters of all sorts of racial identities. We are all seeing this. We are all witnesses. And so I am hopeful. I am hopeful that those who are wise in law enforcement, those elected officials who have sense and who care, are realizing that times are changing. There is no time for old excuses. And they are understanding they must act against those using excessive force and find ways to work with peaceful protesters and not against them. I am hopeful that evil is being revealed for what it is, and injustice is being laid bare for all to see. Sometimes, these many years after the Civil Rights Movement, it's easy to idealize Dr. King and others and deny the ways that they were disruptive, that they were confrontational. And so sometimes now when we see disruptive and confrontational things, we simply get uncomfortable and say it's not right. But confrontation, direct action, is not always comfortable. In fact, it rarely is. It challenges the status quo. It challenges all that has been set in place for so long. But right now I am full of hope, because I think the consent of the governed is being taken away from forces of oppression. This time it's not just Black Americans, not just young Americans, not just big city Americans, but Americans of all sorts of racial and ethnic backgrounds, all ages, and Americans in small towns too across America. The great community crying out for justice and for change. I know many of you remember much more than I do about the 1960s. You remember all those protests and all the hard work that happened then and has happened since. Many of you have worked at building the beloved community all of your lives, and you know, we all know, how hard this work can be. We know that moving forward toward real change, change of structures and attitudes, building more loving and just communities, is hard, slow work. That is why we need our faith in this time. We need our hope. Faith and hope that are not just based on the responses of human beings, but lean into the power of God's love to save us. Last night, I was invited and joined by phone in a prayer service for racial justice and reconciliation led by community faith partners. And yes, some of their theology would not totally agree with all of our theology, but what struck me most was the words of some older African-American ministers, their deep longing and their tentative hope that maybe this time real change is happening. And as always, I was humbled by their willingness, in spite of all they have experienced, to reach out and try to be in community with white folks like me. Dr. King gets quoted again and again, but I think we need to hear his words of faith and hope when he said, "The arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice." I think we are in a moment when we are seeing the bending. There is movement happening. The pressure is being applied and the arc is shifting. Because people, and I think we're seeing a movement happening, and thank God most of the protesters are trying hard in spite of their anger to be peaceful, to be nonviolent. Because people know that violence begets violence. Hate begets hate. But as Dr. King said, the aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community, so that when the battle is over, a new relationship comes into being between the oppressed and the oppressor. That's what people want. That's what we all long for. New relationships, reconciliation, a community of love and justice for all. So today, we come together virtually, together in hearts and minds. The Spirit draws us together into the beloved community where we are all loved, all valued, all precious. We are brought together in community with God and with each other, and our hearts are united as we worship, as we commit again to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. We gather together in heart and mind to remember the power of Jesus Christ, the power of his love. We eat the bread and drink the cup. And as we do, we remember and we proclaim by our words and our actions that this Jesus, this man of love and nonviolence that the world crucified, this Jesus God has made both Lord and Christ. Violence could not destroy him. Evil could not eliminate him. Death could not defeat him. Because God's love wins. Love always, finally wins. Thanks be to God.